to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 62. Tonight it's just Phoebe.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
I said 62, but it's actually 63.
We lied.
So I'm going to skip ahead to 63. And this is our first podcast after the great eclipse of 2017.
Yeah.
The great American eclipse.
You know what I did during the eclipse, Dad?
I would like to know.
I sat inside school and listened to them give an announcement about how no one is allowed to leave the building because you could go blind.
They didn't let anyone in the whole school look at the eclipse.
No, not only were they like really like
even
no,
people that had
they
their
like
eclipse
literally
classes.
Would not allow you to leave. Like you were trapped inside the building during the eclipse. They were really strict about it.
Even if they brought their own eclipse glasses,
yeah,
and had
well,
like a
and
note
the boys,
from their parents.
Will and Henry, they had somebody like supplied the entire school. In the elementary schools, too, with eclipse glasses, and they all went outside and saw it.
Yeah.
I did. They literally, like, refused to let anybody. They weren't only, like, not only did they, like, not supply goggles or, like, make it a thing. They straight up were, like, you can't leave the building because we don't want someone to sue us if you go blind.
Allison, the woman known to you as Mom, got some eclipse glasses.
I didn't. She offered to bring me some, but I was like, But
they wouldn't have let you out of the building anyway.
Actually, there were a couple kids in my class whose parents checked them out of school for like 5 minutes to see it.
That's tempting because, you know, why not?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the only rationale I got to not get like super upset about it or like not to be like was our teacher was like, well, in 7 years we'll be in totality, so, and you won't be in school, so just see it then, I guess. Which is
fair
enough.
Yeah, so let's put a bookmark in that. But so Allison got the glasses and she texted me and let me know that she had finally gotten some glasses. I had kind of given up hope of getting any glasses because they were like out of stock everywhere. And Amazon had them like, I think they had some that you could order on Amazon Prime for like $200.
Well, Dad, you know that they sell sunglasses at the dollar store?
Yeah, I saw something. I saw something on one of my friend's Facebook page said they overheard someone saying, I don't think these cheap eclipse glasses are any better than my sunglasses.
Oh gosh, I saw there was a Twitter post that was a joke, but people must have taken it seriously. Like there must be some people that was like pictures of these like really ugly like children's cheap sunglasses. It was like life hack guys. These work just as well and
so,
get cheaper.
The eclipse here happened at 1:09 p.m. So I met Mom for lunch. She came to my building where I work and we went out to lunch at noon and then just hung out and we got to look at the eclipse right at its peak. It wasn't really that exciting where we are because it was only a partial eclipse. I think it was like 70-something%. And really, honestly, like if you were out in the day in the middle of it and you didn't know there was an eclipse, you might not notice. Like it was just a touch darker than it would ordinarily
be.
And
there was weird shadows, right?
Yeah, that was probably the coolest thing. So like it was maybe a touch darker. And one thing people noticed was it didn't feel as hot. Like the sun didn't feel as hot as it normally does.
Crazy.
But the really the coolest thing I thought actually, you know, besides looking at the sun and seeing it looked kind of like a moon through the glasses, was if you looked at like shadows in like where leaves were, like underneath trees, the shadows looked like little crescents, right? It actually wasn't the shadow, but like the opposite of the shadow, where the sun came through it looked like little crescents. And that was pretty cool. I took some pictures of that. I think I posted on the Twitter account.
I've seen pictures. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
So mad.
So in 7 years from now, in 2024, there will be another eclipse in the United States, the next eclipse in the United States, and it's going to pass right over the top of us. So Dallas, where we live, will be in the, what do they call it? The path of totality, the zone of totality.
You know.
So I'm putting out an invitation right now to all of our podcast listeners. If you all want to cram into our guest room, you can stay with us and see the eclipse
in
2024.
What I think we should do is by 2024, we're going to have a famous podcast. Like,
of course,
we're on an uphill incline. We're only going up. I'm expecting maybe like 50 million subscribers around there. I think that's pretty reasonable. And I'm thinking we can have a meetup.
They can all fit into our backyard. And we can.
Well, no,
gonna have
we
to
might have to
glasses,
rent out like a stadium.
Because I don't want to buy glasses for all those
people.
I
think it's a little optimistic to say they're going to fit in our backyard, Dad. But We might have to rent out a stadium, but we're doing it. It's happening. We're having a Talk to Dad meetup, 2024. Getting maybe a stadium. BYOEG, that's bring your own eclipse goggles. Stock up now.
So the notable thing about this eclipse is it went sort of directly west-east across the whole country. So a lot of the country got to see this eclipse. The one that's coming in 2024 will kind of go south to north. So it's going to go over, I think, Austin and Dallas. And the really selfish people in Carbondale, Illinois, are going to get two eclipses. They got it this time, and they're going to get it next time. So it's like the intersection of the two eclipses.
Children with, like, three arms or, like, you know...
crazy things
frogs
happening.
Frogs that start talking in, like, prophecy.
Lots of superheroes born in Carbondale, something. Illinois.
I actually think, when you were talking about, like, how it sounds like a superhero origin story that's eclipse... I think that...
It was on the first day of school, too.
Yeah. I think my story could have made an even better one if they were like, no students are allowed to leave, and it's the first day of school, and this kid sneaks out, and then he becomes a superhero. And then he realizes that his school's district officials are evil, and they wanted to prevent him from stopping, I don't know, end of the world?
So 2024, we'll get to see the total eclipse. The one good thing about the eclipse here was... it was a mostly cloudless day, so it was right there in the sky. Hopefully that'll be the case in 2024. You know, it'll be... I think it'll be like 1,000% more cooler to be in the zone of totality because the sky will actually get dark. And supposedly it gets so dark you can see stars. Surely they'll let people out.
Oh my gosh,
no. If they don't let you... you won't be in school.
I won't be in school. That's right. What I'm saying.
7 years from now, you'll be... 24.
So hopefully I will have graduated high school.
Well, you'll be out of college too, right? Hopefully.
We can hope.
Hopefully you'll be out of college.
Again, we can
let's
hope.
Put it this way. I will have stopped paying for your tuition. Whether you've graduated or not, you won't get any more tuition.
I don't get any
that'll
of
be,
the...
That'll be like 6 years after you started college.
I don't get any stipend from all this good podcast money we're making.
Yeah. If we start making money on our podcast... well, we can talk about it. We can negotiate.
I think I should get a stipend for every episode I'm on, especially if I'm busy with college.
You can get a percentage of what we're making right now.
You can talk to my agent about it.
You can get a hefty percentage of what we're making right now.
He's going to negotiate it. I'm actually not at legal... I don't have enough legal prowess to negotiate it myself, but you can talk to my people.
Right now, it would be you would owe me some money.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, because I've put more money into this podcast...
okay, but
then
even
the
if,
zero that we've gotten back.
Even if an independent film doesn't make any money, they don't charge their actors usually.
You know what's weird is like a lot of this, like a lot of bands end up owing money to their record labels because they give them like a signing bonus,
but
they
the
have
same.
To pay it back.
That's not
anyway.
The same. I deserve money for this time. I'm missing out on doing my 17 AP government questions I have.
Well. Let's move it along so you can get to that. I've got a couple other things I want to discuss before we get to the regular segments of our podcast. One thing that was kind of a funny story, a few weeks ago, Mom and I, we try to go on regular dates even though we're old, boring, married people. So usually on a Friday or a Saturday, we'll just say, time to get out of the house, leave all the kids at home, maybe order a pizza and go do something. And I would say maybe like... I don't know, at least 2 out of 3 times we probably go see a movie because that's just easy to do. So we'll see like what's playing. And a few weeks ago we were like, well, there's nothing really playing that we want to see because it's the end of the summer and all the, you know, what we wanted to see we've seen. But we noticed that there were some Indian movies, some Bollywood movies playing in some of the local theaters because we have a big Indian population around here. So, but I didn't realize that, but a couple of the big theaters will like the ones that have like 18 theaters, like 3 or 4 of them will be playing Indian movies.
Did you not realize that we have a high Indian population where we
live?
No,
that part I did know.
Yeah,
what I didn't realize
kind of
is that they constantly run Indian movies in some of the theaters here.
Fun fact, we have one of the biggest Hindu temples in, I don't know how much area in the U.S.
Just a couple
maybe?
Blocks away from us.
A couple blocks away. It has to be one of the biggest in the U.S., right?
I don't know.
I've heard that.
I don't know. It's
the biggest
it's
in the U.S.
fairly impressive. We toured it when they did open houses.
Well, when they, yeah, they opened cool. more of it and it's awesome.
And they're kind of adding on to it, but it's...
I want to say it's the biggest in the U.S.
And a lot of, like, the boys' school has a lot of Indian students. And so, but because of the Indian population, they run these Bollywood movies. So, have you ever watched a Bollywood movie?
Yes, actually, our library used, it had at one point. Oh, and I don't think it was. I'm trying to remember whether it was an ongoing thing or just a one-time thing. But they had like Bollywood movies and Indian food for like the teenagers and at the library where we used to live. Although yeah. I wasn't really a teenager, I was only like 11. But
so anyway we went fun. And saw a movie, a Bollywood movie, and it was really good. It was really fun. It was kind of like a romantic comedy, except there were like these two brothers that were raised in two different families, and they were like, their personality was totally different, but they were identical twins. They were actually played by the same actor, but they were like totally different personalities, and there's like all of their different relationships and girlfriends, and one of them was in an arranged marriage, and it, you know, just kind of a goofy storyline. And we had a lot of fun. And then I was like, and then the next week we went to another Bollywood movie, cause we were like, well, that was fun. Let's see what else is playing. And I put it on Facebook that I was like going to, this is the second Bollywood movie I've seen in a year or in a week, 2 weeks in a row. And one of my Facebook friends was like, oh, what did you see? And I told him about it. And it was someone I went to high school with. And she was saying, oh, my niece is in that movie. And I thought, well, that's weird. Like, because it was someone I grew up with, you know, in elementary school in Utah. And her family, like, it turns out she's related to all these big Bollywood stars. And I thought that was really funny. Like, her cousin is a big Bollywood star. And this week, there's a movie that's opening called A Gentleman, and it's like a big action movie, and it looks really fun. And we saw the trailer for it when we watched the other movie, and her cousin plays the villain in that movie. And in the other movie we watched, it was like her niece, which is really her cousin's daughter, was like one of the romantic leads. She was like one of the biggest stars in the whole movie. So I thought that was really funny. So if you want to, you can come see the movie with us this weekend that has my friend's cousin in it, who's won all these awards. He's like a big star, like really well known.
Yeah,
I thought that was really funny. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I feel like I have to do a little bit of a disclaimer here, but on Saturday, Phoebe and I went to a rally in Dallas. So, you know, we don't really talk about politics on the podcast because it's not a politics podcast, and talking about politics makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and I understand that. Like, I don't really want to hear about politics a lot of times either, and I don't really know that much about politics. Like everyone, I have lots of opinions and pretty strong opinions about certain things.
But I wouldn't necessarily say we're really, but I mean, neither of us are extremists in any
I don't want to talk about politics on the podcast, and I don't really know anything about politics, so I'm not really qualified to talk about politics. Yeah. But what we want to talk about is sort of politics adjacent. I was talking to Elizabeth about this the other day. Have you ever heard people using the word adjacent recently? Like, she was saying she just moved into a new apartment this year by her college, and she said, it's not really ghetto. It's like ghetto adjacent.
I have heard that, I guess.
So what we want to talk about is kind of our experience.
Her old apartment was ghetto.
So we're not going to talk about politics, but we are going to talk about something that's politics adjacent. So if you don't want to hear anything about politics, just skip ahead like 10 minutes. Because we can't really talk about the rally without talking about sort of touching on politics. But it's not really our intent to talk about politics, and we're not going to go off on a political rant. But anyway, so on Saturday, they had a group that did something called the Dallas Against White Supremacy Rally. And it was largely a response to kind of the horrible situation they had in Charlottesville a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And right after the Charlottesville rally, Phoebe, you came into our room and said, can I go to the rally in Dallas on Saturday, like a week later?
Yeah, and I had some friends who wanted to go at first, but then
our initial gut reaction was no, because what had happened in Charlottesville was, you know, there was a lot of violence there, and it was a pretty scary situation, and I just didn't want, even though I was supported you doing that, my first gut reaction was no. And then, but we didn't say no necessarily, and where we kind of landed was, well, let's think about it, and if you are going, I want to go with you.
Yeah, Well, and like I said, I had two friends that kind of wanted to go with me, and they were going to, and then at the last minute, their parents kind of said no. And they were, it was the same thing. Like, both of them actually come from families of immigrants, but, so it was nothing, like, of the political fire. It was just they were too concerned about safety.
Yeah, but, because Dallas is a really big city to begin with.
Yeah.
There well, could be big crowds there. You know, it's, there's... I think that there were a lot of people in Dallas that were very supportive of this message, but they're, you know, it is in the, it's also a conservative state where there might be counter protesters there.
Super conservative, but it's, you know, it's not like Portland.
Yeah. So, and it's just, you know, you never know, even though the message was very positive, you didn't know like if people were going to show up and try to cause trouble and if there might be people sort of getting into clashes there. So I decided, you know, it was important that I go with you just to make sure that it was safe.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk a little bit about kind of what our experience was like. So one of my main concerns was finding parking, to be honest. Like going down to Dallas,
because it was
at Dallas, it was at Dallas City Hall, which is kind of in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
Kind of off a little bit to the south of downtown, on the southern side of downtown, but really right in the middle of town. And I was worried about finding parking. We started a little bit late. Like the rally, I think, started at 7:30.
Yeah, I was actually going to a church event right before.
Yeah, and we got there around 8 or 8:15, something like that.
Well, I had something that ended at 7 in where we, the city where we live that's like 30 minutes away from Dallas, but that's without traffic.
Yeah, and there were some roads that were closed because they were doing road construction. So it took us a while to get down there. And I used to work downtown, so I'm somewhat familiar with downtown, although... It's been like 15 years since I worked downtown. Not quite that long. Maybe like 12 and a half years since I worked downtown. But luckily, found parking right away. So that was a win. Just like a couple blocks away from where the rally was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people there. And the really nice thing was, I think, you know, it's funny because I came home from the rally and read some of the news reports. And a lot of the stuff they showed on the news, I didn't see there. Like,
really?
Apparently there were counter protesters there,
and there were some people kind of causing trouble.
But I think maybe that all got sort of worked out before we got there.
Yeah, well, because I saw stuff on Twitter because I was looking as we were driving there, like wondering how things were going or like, you know, just wanted to see because I was curious and I was sure there'd be like pictures up already.
Mm-hmm.
And there were counter protesters. I think, you know, they might have... It might not have been dissolved so quickly, except that they were carrying giant assault rifles, which, like, yeah, they're going to ask you to leave, probably.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know that they can necessarily ask them to leave, but I think they can ask you to limit yourself to a certain area.
Yeah, and I don't think they were even,
So I think they had separated, you know, the counter-protesters from the protesters, but we didn't really see any of that.
No, I didn't see any. I think it was, like, and I'm pretty sure... I'm very sure that it wasn't even like mobs trying to cause violence. It was like five guys who were had to fake like militia or whatever who were just trying to be jerks and like scare people away from going.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people there. You know, the news report said it was about 2,500 people there. It felt like
it felt like
I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 at least.
Yeah,
Because the plaza in front of City Hall was pretty full. But the interesting thing I thought was like people there were actually super polite.
Oh yeah.
There was a lot of kind of, excuse me. There was no sort of pushing.
It's kind of funny for like a rally. Cause you think, and they're like, oh, sorry.
People were very polite and very kind of conscientious.
Crowd. Like that was the most polite, huge crowd ever.
There were some people that were sort of, there were like some cuss words on some of the signs, maybe like less than 5% of the signs had cuss words on them.
Honestly,
there were some people that were
not,
very loud, but it wasn't, aggressive.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like it was aggressive and I never felt threatened by anyone.
No,
there were some people that, sort of as a joke or a goof, they had like tiki torches because they were like the white supremacists in Charlottesville rallied with tiki torches. So they were saying they were like taking back the tiki.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of funny.
It wasn't. Yeah. They were,
but
nice,
the speeches that were given, even though I don't necessarily agree politically with everyone who was speaking, like I didn't disagree with anything that was said because all the messages were about inclusion and about, you know,
they were all good
recognizing
speakers,
everyone, recognizing our community, kind of standing up for people who
being
deserve
unified,
to be stood up for, being
one,
unified.
Like, taking down the, one of the main things that they had there was they were for taking down the Confederate statues in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That was like kind of the main purpose of the rally.
Yeah, that was part of it. So Dallas, because it is a southern city, does have some Confederate monuments. And there's a whole history of that we don't really need to get into here. But I support that for political reasons that I said I wouldn't talk about politics.
But you should, yeah.
But, you know, it was because a lot of those were put up in response to, like, civil rights or, you know, during a time of Jim Crow. It was sort of...
Yeah, so they were really against celebrating things that are... You know,
right. They were kind of, there is kind of a history of white supremacy behind some of that. But anyway, but it was interesting. It was, we both made signs.
Yeah.
I made a sign really quickly because I figured if I'm going to a rally, I got to have a sign. So my sign said, what did my sign say? America for all Americans. wasn't as good as your sign. Your sign was pretty awesome.
My sign, I did pretty quick too. I was going to a church thing, but it said y'all means all, which I've seen in other things. That's actually not original, but
and maybe I'll, we did take a picture and maybe I'll post it to the podcast, Instagram account and tweet it out so you can see what we're talking about. But in general, it was just a very positive experience and a good environment. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because people are so polarized that everyone wants to characterize, you know, certain people who are against the rally want to say, oh, it was just horrible people that were very...
Even people who aren't necessarily against the idea of the rally, they just want to be like, oh, people who go to rallies are all like crazy and like violent, you know?
And I guess I just want to say that wasn't my experience. My experience was people there were actually very nice and very conscientious.
I got a lot of compliments.
And overall, I would
say
it was a very positive environment. It wasn't a negative environment. It wasn't trying to, you know, it wasn't even, you know, hating on other people. It was just,
it was just for,
you know, let's be here. Let's be supportive of people who are under attack and let's be unified and let's support this.
And so, also, it was,
so that was interesting. It was actually the first time I've ever been like part of a protest. I've seen protests before, but first time I've ever been part of a protest, so that made it interesting on a personal level. I'm not really the personality where I'm a big protester.
I probably
activist
am a little
type.
More than you, but I'm not.
I'm sure
you
are more than me because I'm not at all. So,
yeah, you're more of the Facebook rant kind of guy.
Yeah, I do have strong opinions. You know, I keep it out of the podcast and I keep it off of, you know, social media for the podcast. But if anyone's seen like my personal Twitter account, I do express my views there.
Oh, you're much more political on Twitter than you are on Facebook, too.
Yeah, and well, that's because Twitter is just sort of its own thing.
And nobody follows
and
you
and
on
a lot
Twitter.
Of my exactly. So I can say whatever
like
I want.
Five followers.
Yeah, I have a few more than that.
Oh, okay.
I think I have over 100 followers.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'm going to verify that.
But, you know, it's not like a lot of the people I know. So Facebook, I've sort of limited to just sort of non-political friendly stuff. And mostly like I post pictures of food and my kids and my dog, which is fine.
You have... Oh, you have 171 followers.
There you go. So I have a few.
I only have 179.
Now, some of those are bots.
Yeah, I think a lot. Well, yeah, you don't have a lot of like active followers, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I have some.
Well,
I mean,
say
I have people
I have
that
almost,
I have people they interact with on Twitter, but it's not.
But I have almost as many followers, but they're more like engaged.
But if I have like, if I just want to rant about something, I'm much more likely to do it on Twitter than I am on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I try to keep that all off the TTD account because
well,
it's really not what we're about.
I post stuff a lot. So if anyone sees a tweet that's up for like 5 seconds,
delete a tweet because I put it to the wrong account.
Or to Maisie's account. Maisie has an Instagram account, by the way, go follow her. BT Maisie.
Maisie rails on politics all the time on her Instagram
and then
account.
It gets taken down after 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to be like, Dad, you put that on Maisie's account.
No,
it's not usually
Instagram's
stuff that's like
just for pictures, but sometimes I'll put like food that I cooked on or me on the dog's account.
Made Sunday dinner today. It was hard since I didn't have opposable thumbs, but do I get to talk about the first day of school?
Sure. Other than the fact that you were locked in the school and couldn't see the eclipse,
oh,
how was the
gosh.
First day of school?
Well, yeah, it was good. You know, senior year, it's starting off better than junior year already. I haven't gone into the car and cried because I didn't want to go to school because I hate school, but it's been good. It's been a lot more work than I expected, though. I kind of gave myself easy classes, but then ended up in like, well, like one of the things was I was like, oh, I'm taking three AP classes, or How many was I taking? I'm taking four AP classes, but that's okay because two of them are one semester each. So, you know, take one semester of one semester of another. And those are AP government and AP economics, which are kind of the more like note heavy, like a lot of workload classes. And then my counselor put them as the same semester. So now...
So this semester is going to be more difficult than your last one.
Which is really annoying because I have notes every single night because I have econ A days.
It is a lot of work.
I have government A days and econ B days. So now I have notes every single night. And they'll be like, yeah, it's not that many notes if you divide them up between the two nights. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. So I have both. And they're like, it's also annoying because in AP exam season, it'll have been a whole semester since I've learned anything. And they're like, yeah, we're going to have a system. We're going to swap.
Oh, that's right.
Since the econ and gov classes are the same periods, they're like, we're going to swap out.
Because they only give the tests once a year, right?
Yeah, in May. And they were like, at the end of this second semester, we're going to swap out so you can get some econ review in your gov class or vice versa or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that because I'm not in either. So
yeah,
that'll be
bummer.
Really stressful, but yeah. It's okay. And then because I'm stupid and hate myself, I exchanged my early release that I was so looking forward to for AP Music Theory.
Uh-huh.
But actually, I can't really complain about that one because the teacher is my choir director, who I love. And he does not really believe in giving us homework or really grading things. So it's a free 100. He like we work hard in the class, but it's a free 100. So that's nice.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah.
But
sucks about the having two like social studies type classes in one semester. Because they're always the one that have the most work.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of reading.
Now I'm
a
like
lot
doubled
notes.
Up on reading and notes.
Yep, that'll be good practice for college though, actually, because college is kind of that way. It's like a lot of reading. In fact, I think I haven't had one of these dreams in a while, but I think I had a dream a few nights ago that I was taking some college class and I was way behind on the reading, and I was like, do I do the reading now or do I just like skip
Quizlet
it?
The answers?
Yeah, or
that's
like,
what I'm doing tonight because I left my AP government book at home.
Like my notes from class. Like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes like if you read all the material, you're going to understand it more.
Yeah.
But if you just take really good notes in class, you'll probably know what the teacher's going to ask.
All the AP histories in high school, in my high school anyway, I feel like I learned nothing in class and all the stuff is from the reading. And then like the class lectures are just like tangents. Like
that's
kind of
the way it is in college too, except some professors, it sort of depends on the professor. Like some professors, the test will be on the reading, and other professors, the test is really just on what they talk about in class. So you sort of figure out that like some of them, the reading's not as important.
Yeah.
Now, if you really care about education and
but it's
expanding your soul, you'll do all the reading. But if you have to prioritize, if it gets busy enough, you have to prioritize.
In this, I would much rather do the readings and go to class. There have been days when I was like, I'm behind on the reading. So if I'm like borderline, whether or not I should skip school, if I'm feeling kind of sick, I will because I'm going to get much more catching up. Yeah, out of catching up on the readings and I will in class. I never get anything from those classes. We only like watch, I don't know, at least AP Human or AP World History and AP US History. In class, we just like watch a video or the teacher would like go on some tangent about like current events, which is cool. Like that's nice, but like we're not really like learning much about the subject. It's all from the readings.
Let's do news.
Yeah, okay.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Phoebe. Would you like to share a news story?
Yeah, I was about to recommend that maybe we should just skip this one to like cut down time because we talked a lot. But then I read more of it, and I think it's important. It says South Carolina baby named Eclipse born during solar eclipse. Yeah.
Yes. So her parents. She wasn't born actually during the eclipse. Which is a little disappointing. Like, you want her to be born, like, during the totality, right?
Yeah.
She was born, like, a few hours later. I think her mother was in labor during the eclipse, and she was born on the same day.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, I guess. If she was in labor during the eclipse.
She was born on the same day as the eclipse. And her parents had the completely original thought of naming their kid.
Okay, well, if they had labor, she was in the process of being born.
True.
So she was being
coming
birthed.
Into this world.
She just wasn't finished being birthed.
Yeah. So... You want to read the story?
Yes. A baby born in South Carolina Monday was given a celestial name in honor of the total solar eclipse. Oh, gosh. These spellings. Okay. This is what made me do it. Eclipse Elizabeth. That's with an A. Elizabeth Eubanks. Because I guess I didn't want to do triple E. I don't know. Was born to parents Freedom and Michael Eubanks at 8:04 a.m. on Monday, more than a week before she was due. I kind of felt, oh, I'm going to read these in a South Carolina accent. I kind of felt like it was meant to happen to have her that's on not, this day.
It's not a South Carolina accent. Totally. You don't know what a South Carolina accent sounds like.
Do you want
like.
To read in a South Carolina accent?
No, I want you to read it in a normal voice.
You know, for people who live in South Carolina, that is a normal voice, and that's highly offensive. It's not. The mother said, Eclipse was... That's what she said. She says you're being offensive. Eclipse was born at Greenville Hospital, measured to be 19 inches long. Okay, the family originally planned to name the girl Violet, but decided to give her the name Eclipse in celebration of the rare event. South Carolina is one of 14 states in the path of totality for Monday's eclipse, and she said it was shocked. Her family was shocked and believed it was destiny. I think it was meant to be her name, she said. We're probably going to call her Eclipsy.
That was
That's
the part
why I had to read it.
That was the part that got me, too.
Yeah.
Eclipsy.
Eclipsy. Oh, hi, Eclipsy. Oh, that's horrible.
Eclipsy's pretty
we
bad.
We send our prayers to the family, to the girl. About 11 other babies were born on August 21st and were given special onesies to celebrate the occasion. See, normal parents give their child a special onesie. They don't name their child Eclipsy.
I think somehow Eclipse is not as bad as Eclipsy. Like... I don't know. Eclipse is a weird name.
You can almost
name.
Do Ellie. If I was
you can do
place,
Ellie. Yeah, Ellie I is like the obvious. Ellie. That's the obvious nickname because it sounds normal. And then you could tell people, yeah, my full name is Eclipse because yeah. I was born during the eclipse. And that's not so bad. But Eclipsy?
I do know a girl named Millennia, and I'm pretty sure she was born, you know, around the time of the millennia. So that makes sense.
You were born in 2000, so that makes
you
sense.
You didn't name me Millennia, though.
We did not.
But, yeah, I would go by... I would insist that everyone just call me Ellie. But her mom's name is Freedom, so I don't know.
I have a story.
Elizabeth. Or I'd go by Elizabeth.
There were several snake stories, but I did not use one of the snake stories.
Good. Hey, you know it's a snake?
Although I feel like we're sort of dropping the ball on the important snake news.
Can I say it? Because I have been I have frequently made comments about Taylor Swift being a snake. Sorry, Taylor Swift. Huge fan of your work. Did great in that trial. I congratulate you on all your achievements, but you're a snake. After the big Kimye scandal, I can't deny it. And she was teasing. She actually listened to our podcast every single episode. Huge fan. And that led her to release teasers for her new single that are all videos, captionless videos of snakes. So hi Taylor Swift, glad you listen. I just like to say, huge fan of your work. Anytime you want to come on, you can. And yeah, that's all.
So my story doesn't have anything to do with snakes, but it does have to do with mealworms.
No.
Swiss supermarket introduces mealworm insect burgers.
Oh, that's so... No,
a Swiss supermarket chain announced it will soon start selling unusual beef substitute burger patties made of mealworms. Grocery chain Co-op announced 7 of its locations in Switzerland will become the first stores to offer manufacturer Isento's insect burgers, as well as meatball-like insect balls, starting next Monday. Both products contain ground-up mealworms as their source of protein. The bug burgers also contain rice, carrots, various spices for flavor, and they are projected to sell for about... How much would you think it would cost for a mealworm burger?
$75.
It comes in a pack of two. So you get two patties for...
$300.
You want to guess again?
$60.
You were a little high.
Wait, $150.
Two patties.
$150.
Let's try a real guess here.
No, it is.
$150.
Okay, fine. I was just assuming it would be high. $60.
They're supposed to be a substitute for hamburgers, so they got to be at least in the range of hamburgers.
They have all
right?
sorts of like crazy stuff that's expensive.
Not
I don't
that
know.
Expensive though. No one's going to pay $100.
They have luxury stuff
no one's going to pay $100 for an insect burger.
I just watched too many BuzzFeed videos. They were like, "We tried $2,000 chicken nuggets, whatever."
Yeah, but these are made of mealworms. They are projected to sell for about $9.25 for a pack of two, which to me still seems really high. Because hamburgers don't cost that much. That still seems kind of high to me.
What was it?
$9.25.
Okay.
Or for a pack of 10 meatballs, they're going to sell for about the same amount.
It's disgusting, and I don't want to hear about it because it's gross.
A The co-founder of the company that makes them says they have a high culinary potential. Their production saves resources and their nutritional profile is high quality. Thus, insects are the perfect complement to a modern diet. Co-op says it plans to expand its offerings of edible insects products by the end of the year.
Nick, treat yourself?
The thing is, yeah, maybe. I don't think you would even notice that it's made of mealworms because it's ground up protein.
Yeah.
Just sort of added to it. I think psychologically it'd be weird thinking, oh, there's bugs in this.
It would help with global warming.
But I suspect the texture is not. It'd probably be like kind of like a veggie burger.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't always like.
I would try it.
I try veggie
burgers. But I wouldn't make you try it.
No.
You want to do our other story?
Yeah, sure. Says, dog hailed as hero after digging up $85,000 worth of heroin. I'm glad Maisie's finally getting some recognition in this podcast.
Yes.
Just kidding. She's sick. She is in no condition.
She's not really a digger either.
Yeah, as far as we know. In Oregon, she dug a little bit. In Oregon's sheriff's office is honoring a family's golden retriever for digging up $85,000 worth of black tar heroin in its owner's backyard. Sketchy. They said the dog Kenyon was digging in the backyard of the family's home in early August when he unearthed an unusual object. And they initially thought the canine had exhumed a time capsule buried by the previous owners, so they videotaped themselves opening the package.
So they had, what do they call that on YouTube? They call it an unboxing.
Yeah.
So they have an unboxing video for this capsule.
So it looks like, okay, and right turns away. Turns out
there was drugs in it.
Okay, so we're going to see what they have. Oh, heroin.
This looks interesting.
Right away, I'm noticing the packaging is really nice, really a big fan. Lid's a little hard to get off. And inside, oh, okay, it looks like we've got some heroin.
Ooh, is that black tar heroin?
Oh, I think this is black tar heroin. How much would you say? I would estimate about $85,000.
Yeah, good, at least. Good value. At least.
Anyway, yeah, that's their monthly subscription unboxing video. Really good for the, it's only $10 a month, but they have $85,000 worth of materials inside. Okay. They quickly determined the package's contents were some sort of controlled substance. How did they know? Just saying. They contacted the sheriff's office, which identified the substance as more than 15 ounces of black tar heroin. They bestowed Kenyon.
So just about a pound.
Yeah. They bestowed Kenyon, the dog, with an official Yamhill County Canine Citation ribbon and named him an honorary narcotics canine for life.
Way to go, Kenyon.
What if he was an addict, though? And he was just trying to get his fix.
But he didn't need it. Luckily.
His owners took it away from
him. I would
him.
Worry if...
I would be suspicious about the
owners. If Maisie dug
owners.
It up, she'd probably start eating it. She eats about everything. And then
well, it's in a bar.
It was in like sort of like a piece of pipe or something from the picture that I saw. I think there's a picture on the second page of that, maybe.
Oh,
so it looks like a tube, yeah, like a sketchy. Like a PVC tube or something like that was buried in their yard.
That's
the dog
really sketchy.
Dug it up. So congratulations, Kenyon. You're doing good work keeping drugs off of, out of our, well, not ours, but
our
out,
good Christian suburb.
Off the streets, out of the community. And that is our news. All right. Can we do a dad quiz?
Sure. Dad quiz.
That's pretty good.
All right, I have a dad quiz here that I think you'll do very well on. I saw this today or yesterday maybe on Twitter. This is, we've done a couple of McSweeney's quizzes before. This is from McSweeney's, which is an internet humor site. This is very similar to one we did before, but a little bit different. This is Young Hollywood Heartthrob or two IKEA products.
Oh, probably, yeah. No Young Hollywood Heartthrobs.
I would think
you'll
know at least some of these.
At least,
but I
yeah,
still thought
hopefully.
The list was really funny. All right.
Or
so,
two IKEA what?
Young Hollywood Heartthrob or two IKEA products. It'll be
I can
obvious
think of
to
one
you
right
once we
now.
Start.
I can think of one right now.
Number one is probably the one you're thinking of. Ansel Elgort.
I knew it would be Ansel Elgort.
Because he sounds like two IKEA products.
That was the
products.
One I immediately thought of. So, of course, IKEA furniture. No, I'm kidding. Teenage Heartthrob.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number two, Adam Adelstein.
Teenage Heartthrob. Really? There's something named Adam?
Adam Adelston is.
Adam is an IKEA furniture?
Yes, there is an Adam.
Is it an Adam?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
With a T?
To be honest. But if you get on the IKEA website, you can probably look it up.
That's weird.
Number three, Ty Sheridan.
Teenage Heartthrob. These all sound like, I feel like I'm going to guess that for everything because they all sound like Teenage Heartthrob names.
Yes, they do.
Number but Ty four, is such a like.
Number four, Alden Einreich.
IKEA. Oh.
That is a Teenage Heartthrob.
I need to see like pictures or something.
Number five, Emmy Rand.
IKEA furniture.
Correct.
No one would keep the last name Rand.
Number six, Olgot Egergrund.
Olgot Egergrund? I want to say IKEA furniture again, but I feel like it's not. I feel like it's too easy to be. I feel like Teenage Heartthrob.
Is that your final answer?
No. IKEA furniture.
Correct.
That sounds too. Yeah, okay.
Number seven, Billy Sy.
IKEA furniture.
Number eight, Jacob Laughlin.
Teenage Heartthrob? I feel like I've heard that name
doing
before,
pretty well.
But I don't know.
Number nine, Bonnie Sturdivant.
IKEA furniture.
Oh. Nope, that is a Hollywood heartthrob.
Wow.
And the last one, Jules Logan.
IKEA furniture.
Correct.
How many did you get right out of that?
Let's see. I think you got
like half, like a 2/3 of them. Maybe
you got Ansel Elgort. You missed on Adam Edelston. Mm. You got Ty Sheridan. I think you got about 2/3 of them.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Probably got at least 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah.
I think you only missed a few. So that is our dad quiz.
All right.
You did pretty well there.
Yeah. I mean, the only one I really knew was Ansel Elgort. I recognized a couple others, but as soon as I heard that quiz, I immediately thought Ansel Elgort.
I'm sure he was the inspiration for the quiz.
He had to have been.
Because his name sounds like two IKEA products.
Yeah. He's the only person.
A good actor, by the way.
He's such a good actor. Oh my gosh. There have been so many movies where he just made the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how I felt about The Fault in Our Stars was, this is a bit of a tangent, but that the character Augustus Waters, which is seriously the only person who has a weirder name is Ansel Elgort. But Augustus Waters, that character just didn't make sense to me. And like, I couldn't quite figure out what, I guess I just didn't like the character, but I didn't understand what the writer, John Green, like him a lot, like his podcast, but I didn't really understand what he's trying to do with the character. And I just didn't really like understand him or like really like him until I saw that movie and he totally like sold it for me. And I was like, wow, I've totally seen this character in a new way.
That's how you can tell if someone's a really good actor is if they're good. Even in a mediocre movie.
Well, and it wasn't even as mediocre. He just conveyed.
Well, and I'm not saying that movie was
was
necessarily bad, but like someone who's always good, even if the movie itself isn't good, that's how you know someone's really good.
You could just see his like deep understanding of the character. He conveyed what the author like kind of failed to, in my opinion, kind of failed to like show really well the characterization, like exactly where he's trying to go with it. And I didn't, as soon as I watched the movie, I was like, I get where he was going with that character now. And I like him way more.
I want to do something we haven't done in a while. I would like to do at least one hypothetical. What I just said was only hypothetical. This one's quick. We can do a quick hypothetical. This is from Chuck Klosterman's Hypotheticals. This one is called synesthesia. You know what synesthesia is?
Yes. You hear colors, as my AP Music Theories teacher said today, accidentally.
Yeah. You can see colors. You can hear colors. You might like if some people like when they hear certain days of the week, they associate them with colors.
Yeah,
do you do
that? I do. Yeah. I associate a lot of things with colors, but not, I don't have synesthesia.
Synesthesia.
It's if when they really talk about it, it's just that your brain associates things differently. Like if they show you a square with a triangle on top, basically all little kids would think house, and they would think something like totally, they would think like, oh, mint chocolate chip ice cream. And you'd be like, what?
Or some people like when they hear certain music, like they associate certain notes with certain colors.
Yeah.
So they hear music like in colors. All right, here's the hypothetical.
Yeah, we were talking about that because we were talking about sight singing because that's part of the AP Music Theory test.
There you
gotta
go.
Sing.
Here's a hypothetical. You are forced to give up one of your five senses, smell, sight, taste, touch, or hearing. However, you may choose to compensate for the loss by means of synesthesia. For example, if you give up your sense of sight, you can choose to smell colors instead. Or if you give up hearing, you might opt to taste music. If you give up taste, you could replace the sensation by feeling flavors. Basically, whatever sense you reject would be reflected through an alternative medium. Which of your senses would you surrender and how would you replace it?
I think this is pretty easy.
Yeah.
So my initial thought after I thought it through was easy. I touch smells. I touch something and I smell it.
I like that answer a lot.
Yeah, because then to a degree, you can kind of control it. I'm guessing it's just your fingers. I'm going to say just what your hands touch, although that might not be true. Because I don't want to taste sweaty socks all day. But
yeah, ooh, that would be gross. If you touch stuff that smells really bad, you'd be like, ooh, I want to throw it down.
Because I was thinking, because people always say your smell, you couldn't taste things as well if you didn't smell them. Because then I was thinking, you touch a burger, you smell a burger, you eat the burger. It's great. You got it all. You touch it in your mouth. But then I was thinking,
what if you're older and you have to change diapers?
What if you're?
I guess you're going
to
smell it anyway.
Smell it anyway. You just have to deal with it.
Is
you get a little more control than you would otherwise, but you're still smelling things you wouldn't anyway.
And I assume things that smell bad would still smell bad even if they smelled bad.
Yeah. But then I was thinking, I don't know if it works the same way I was originally thinking it would, because if you have synesthesia, it's not as direct as
synesthesia.
I mean, I don't think I could touch something and necessarily smell exactly how it smelled. I think it would just be something that I related to that. Because if you have synesthesia and you hear something, you're hearing what you associate it with colors. You're not hearing you're not seeing the orchestra play it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's that direct. I don't think I could see a burger and smell a burger.
It's like a sense that takes over for the other sense, but it's not identical to that sense.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm kind of how could... Okay, at least I'm almost thinking I should do sight more, because how could you see a burger and not think of burger smell, right?
Yeah, so my answer is I agree that smell is the one you want to give up. Because if you think about your five senses, you can't... You wouldn't want to willingly give up your sight or your sound, even though there are people that get by being blind or deaf, but you wouldn't, they're very strong senses that are very important. You wouldn't want to give up your touch because that's dangerous. You can hurt yourself. Yeah. And you can't feel affection.
You can't feel someone holding hands with you or giving you a hug or whatever. That's very sad to me.
So that leaves taste and smell. And I wouldn't want to give up taste because for me, food is extremely important. It's a big part of my life. I experience food every day and I appreciate it and love it.
It makes your life better.
Sometimes I love it a little too much, but it's something that I really like. I love to cook. I look forward to when I get to work in the morning, I want to work knowing that, hey, I'm going to take a lunch break and I'm going to eat something tasty.
Yeah. I bring snacks on days where I know I'll have hard classes because it's the only way I'm getting through an hour and a half of back when I had Spanish too.
So that leaves smell. So I think smell is the obvious thing. But so my answer is maybe being able to see smells.
I was going to say back on giving up taste. It makes me think of for a year I was on ADHD meds and they killed my appetite and they were terrible. I just didn't like them, the side effects, which is why I stopped taking them. But I didn't want to eat. And that was so weird to me. Food was just disgusting to me. When I did eat, I wanted to eat bland things.
And that
kind of
makes me sad.
It made me so sad. Yeah,
my grandmother, not to drag down the podcast entirely, but my grandmother died of cancer when I was really little. And I remember my mom telling me, my grandmother, her favorite food in the world was Snickers bars. And when she was going through chemotherapy, she couldn't even eat that because it was just nothing tasted good to her.
Oh, chemo sounds
awful. And that's just
awful.
Sad.
But these were just, they weren't as bad as chemo, but I did not want to eat anything. It was just, I only wanted to eat bland things and it was just not, I didn't like it. And it was totally like depressing. And it was funny because every time I would come off them, like on the weekends or whatever, because I wouldn't take them every day, it was like I was suddenly craving every single food at once.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, I remember going to Sprouts with mom. Yeah, kind of, but it was still sad. But and I would get super lightheaded from not eating. But I remember going to Sprouts with mom, and it was like when they were like wearing off, because it was like the day after, and I was looking around and I was like, I want everything here. Oh my gosh, a tomato. I don't even like tomatoes, but like it looks so good. All this food looks so good.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, but, that's but it was like terrible. Like I would not want to give up taste because it's not fun.
So smell by touch or smell by sight is kind of where we left.
I think because of what I was thinking about. What if you can
hear
about?
Smells? That would be weird.
Yeah.
That would be bizarre.
You wouldn't get the benefits of the
have like
food.
A certain ooh, hum to
think
them.
Think of if you heard burgers sizzling.
They could have a certain hum or a certain, I don't know.
But you hear bacon sizzling.
Or they chirp.
You have to smell bacon.
The
I'm
smells
sorry.
Chirp at you.
Yeah, and okay, because of what I was thinking, that you wouldn't necessarily associate the touch of a burger with the smell of a burger. You might associate it with something totally different. But I don't think there's any way you can get around if you see a pizza. I think you kind of have to smell pizza, right? So I think that might function better, like I was thinking.
Maybe.
Or
I
maybe,
wonder, like, when you give up the smell, though, do you give up all your smell memories? I don't know.
But you can taste
probably
things.
Not.
You have to associate it with the taste.
Because people
taste
who go blind
so
later
similar.
In life still remember what things look like. If you're born blind, you
yes.
don't know. But if you go
but
blind later in life, you still remember.
Also, taste. Like, you have to, even if you could never smell before, I feel like the smell would be similar to the, that you would associate it with, would have to be similar to the taste, right? Or a smell and taste completely
yeah,
different.
Yeah, somehow.
And
there
not,
would have to be some sort of relationship to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think
like you'd
even
have
if,
to have some sort of proportionality
and
to
and I've thought about this.
Sense.
Whether, you know how, like, you can't explain sight to a blind person? Could you explain smell to someone who could only taste?
That
and
would
be
really
like,
hard. Well,
it's, well, could you
sort
and be
of.
Like,
I mean,
like,
taste is analogous,
are they,
sort of.
Are they close enough that you could explain it and just be like, it's just like tasting through your nose?
It tastes, it smells just like a taste.
It's like
it tastes
you taste
like
everything
smells.
That you're around through your
maybe.
Nose.
I don't know.
Could you, like, is that similar
they're
enough?
They're closely related,
because
but
I
maintain,
it,
though, that they are two
they are different.
Distinct things.
They are different, but I think they're definitely by far the most similar.
They are similar and because they work together. But
I wonder if I got I rid of my but, sense of smell, if that sensation of smelling something is as similar to tasting as I'm thinking of, or if they're just so interconnected that
yeah.
I, like,
they're don't. Very interconnected, and I think we experience them together at the same time, but there are things that don't really smell much and have a strong taste, or they don't really taste like much and have
yeah,
a strong
yeah.
smell.
I don't think they're codependent on each other, but I do think they're very connected. I think it would be the easiest to explain to someone, scent.
Yeah, I think
be
you're
like,
right.
It's like smelling, it's like tasting all the things that are around you through your nose.
Speaking of tasting things,
oh.
we have one last thing to do, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right. Well, as I
can
said earlier.
Can we get some light applause on that segue?
As
I think
said
that's not
earlier,
the lightest. I think there's a
that
lighter
is
one.
The lightest.
Oh, I think we need a little bit lighter than that, but it was pretty good.
The as I said earlier, taste is very important to me, which is why we almost never do a podcast without a treat yourself. Today I have... it was maybe about a month or even longer ago. We did some flavor of certain state candy bars. And there was one that I missed at the time, but I saw it in the grocery store. So I snagged it. Excuse me. So I snagged it. These are Taste of Georgia honey roasted, peanuts. So honey roasted flavor Reese's peanut butter cups. I guess the theory here is it's peanut butter, but it's made with honey roasted peanuts. Hard to say that this could possibly be anything other than yummy, but let's try it and see.
But let's see if it's an improvement, I think.
Yeah. How does it stack up against a regular peanut butter cup? Everybody knows what a Reese's peanut butter cup is,
isn't
I assume,
it,
unless you're allergic to peanuts.
And is it unique?
I can taste the honey. Can you taste the honey?
I do.
There's pretty strong honey flavor, I think.
I like it.
All right. What do you think?
It was really good. It tasted like a peanut butter and honey sandwich to me.
It does. That's what it tastes like. Peanut butter and honey sandwich is exactly
and
what the filling tastes like.
I will tell you, I'm a huge fan of peanut butter and honey sandwiches, so I'm a huge fan of this.
Yes. I think that it's really hard to say it is anything other than...
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I like how you upgraded that drop.
I upgraded the drop because there was a whole bunch of background noise in that old drop, and I kind of got tired of hearing it, so I got a clean version.
Yep. Improving every day.
Yeah, I think the honey and peanut butter sandwich is a perfect analogy. Of course, it tastes like a peanut butter cup, which is a pretty good taste.
But it's like a honey. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if you had to choose between this and a regular peanut butter cup.
I don't think I would choose this all the time.
I might go back
but
to
a
regular
nice
peanut butter cup.
Eventually. But it is a nice change that I appreciate. And I think it's maybe better, but I wouldn't always choose it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's nice, though. I like it. It's good. It's tasty. I like the taste of honey. If you don't like the taste of honey, you might not like it.
No, you wouldn't like it then. It literally tastes like a honey
thing,
peanut butter sandwich.
The other thing that we have to try, I found these in the Chinese grocery store when Mom and I were hanging out there. They are Hai Chu candies, but they are the fizzy version. So there is a cola flavor and an orange soda flavor of Hai Chus, which Hai Chus are kind of like the Asian version of Starburst. So we're going to try
those.
I
would say more like Mamba.
All right, I'm going to mute so we don't chew into the mic. Here we go. What do you think?
My initial thoughts are really good, not super fizzy, but I'm still a fan. I would say delicious.
Yeah, they're not...
Do they fizz at all for you?
No, they didn't fizz at all. I expected them to be kind of crackly, like Pop Rocks maybe.
I maybe got a little
but
bit of
I didn't get any fizziness.
Something.
There was a little bit of a texture thing, like gritty-ish.
No, I think there was like almost a, like tingly, like I don't know. It was...
They didn't
maybe.
Fizz for me. You could sort of tell
yeah,
that they were based on soda
fizzy,
flavors.
But they were tasty. I liked it. Cola flavor is always weird to me.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Yes.
I think I like regular Hai Chus better, just the fruit flavor ones.
Oh, really? I think I...
The mm-hmm. flavors were okay, but they weren't fantastic. I'll be honest. I would eat a whole bag of them, but I'm still going to say that they're... Okay.
That was a loud drop. It was like
yes.
very...
Thank you, Hugh Jackman, for singing Oklahoma
very in your face.
To
who
us.
Chose that drop, man?
Who chose that drop?
Someone who's a huge nerd about musical
I theater. Thought they were... I mean, they're pretty darn close to delicious, but just because I like regular Hai Chus better, I wouldn't choose these necessarily unless I just wanted something.
You wouldn't choose them? You wouldn't Hai Chus them?
Yeah, something like that.
You don't need to boo me.
I'm not going to boo you.
Oh, really?
I'm just going to point out that...
Puns are delightful.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean to make a pun, but I suppose I did by accident. It sounded like I was doing it on purpose, but...
I mean, I think I was the one who made the pun there, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is our podcast. I know you have homework to do, so I'll let you go and do it.
I do.
I will thank you for your participation. Thank you, Phoebe. Thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know.
Oh, and make sure to join us for the 2024 Solar Eclipse Meetup.
Yeah, our guest room is still unreserved, so
set your
if
calendars.
You want to be here... In 2024.
Renting out a stadium.
That didn't sound right in my brain. In 2024, we will be in the path of totality. So you can show up. We can do a podcast together during a total eclipse.
Sorry, quick, really curious. How does it align with election season?
I don't know. I don't actually know what date it is.
Is the sun
going to
go dark as soon as you find out the results of the election?
I just know it's that year. I don't know like what month or day it is in the year, but
yeah,
I just know
anyway.
It's in 2024. So thank you for listening. If you want to, you can tweet at us at TTD Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Talk Dad Podcast. You can get all of our episodes on our website at TalkToDadPodcast.com. We are available on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, or however you found our podcast. One thing that would really help us out, if you want to help us out, is you can give us a 5-star review. You can rate, subscribe, and review our podcast on iTunes. That will help us out. I'd like to thank also the Foxy Morons, the band that let us use their music for our intro and outro music. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time through.